This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, thank you for listening out there in Radio Land. And if you have a question about your garden or pruning or your lawn or how to fertilize or how to plant, all you have to do is call and ask. And the number is 673-4464. And any subject as far as it's lawn and gardens, okay? We're going to stay on the political arena today.
Why?
Oh, man, it's on fire.
Yeah.
But, you know, my purpose here is to give you ideas on plants and what looks good, what looks bad, and what not to do and what to do. So hopefully you're picking up on some of this stuff and you're becoming a very successful gardener or landscaper, whatever the case might be. So, you know, I'll start off with what I'm thankful for. The rain. The rain. I love the rain.
Yeah.
Actually, I saw the South Umpqua has actually risen. You can't see as many rocks.
I was just going to ask. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and my little creek has come up about 8 inches in the last week.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it's like, whoa. It's not running full blast or anything like that, but the potholes of water in different areas are rising. So, you know,
Hope.
Yeah, there's hope, yes.
I wonder if our governor still says there's an extreme drought.
Probably, yeah.
I'm sorry. I went right into that hole, didn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, you did. You got sucked right into it. So. So not only are my nursery plants getting watered naturally,
yay,
but the rain has put a real damper on the forest fires, and that's good. I know there's still some going and still some smoldering out there, but it's not 90 degrees and the wind's not blowing, so that means that the firefighters are getting a handle on this and they can soon go home, and that's good. And you know, the rain this remember last week when the sky was brownish gray and because of all the smoke.
Yep.
Well, it ain't now. The rain has also knocked down the blanket of smoke that was hanging around here for months or weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
Seemed like forever.
We can breathe.
Yeah, all right. We can breathe finally. Oh, gosh. And so my hope is for a normal wet winter with like 35 inches of rain and the creeks fill up and the wells fill up and, you know, the ground gets real good and saturated and the water table recovers.
I think you're going to get it.
I'm hoping. I'd like to see that. I mean, when it's actually like last night, you know, about time for bed, all of a sudden the thundering on the roof. It was raining so hard at my house.
Wow.
I had to walk outside and watch it. I mean, it's just like I was in a waterfall.
It was just like in a movie or something.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't last that long, but, in the half an hour or so that it did, it must have dumped a half an inch of rain at my place.
Really?
Yeah.
I must have been asleep in Sutherland there, or we didn't get it.
Yeah, you didn't get it. I got it all.
You got it all.
Yeah, I put my order in a long time ago.
Yes, you did.
So, oh, gosh. But, you know, as we get a normal rain for the winter, you know, the creeks are going to flow, the rivers are going to flow, the lakes are going to fill up, and the fish are going to live. And the fish will live. Hey, all those salmon are going, hey, man, when's the water going to come up? We got to go upstream. So, and then, you know, a white Christmas would be a novelty.
Yes,
we haven't
yes,
had
sir.
One. You know, we don't have to have Snowmageddon, but you
no,
know, six inches of white stuff.
Yeah,
for
a little dusting.
Yeah, a couple of days, and you know,
then okay. Go away.
Yeah, go away. But you know, it's good stuff. And as dry as the soil has been, it takes a lot of rain to recharge to a normal level, and it has to be, you know, fairly consistent, so that you know when it first started raining, you know, the ground is wet, but you dig, you know, 2 or 3 inches and the soil's still dry. Mm-hmm. And then you get another rainstorm, and then it just penetrates, you know, just a couple more inches. So it takes a lot of rain over a long period of time to actually get down into the root systems of the trees and all yeah. that, so that, and, you know, finally, you know, recharge the groundwater. So
yeah, my uncle used to call it that's just surface water. We ain't flooding.
Yeah, when it was 3 feet deep up around his house. Yeah, I know. But, you know, the native trees, of course, you know, like the oaks, the maples, and all that, you know, they're showing unhealthy signs of premature leaf drop and things like that. Yeah. And you'll notice that a lot of the leaves, instead of being colorful, they're kind of brown and crisp.
Yeah.
Yellow,
that's what it is.
Yeah, and just when they drop, they almost bounce off. They're so dry, they almost bounce off the sidewalk.
That's terrible.
But a lot of the maples now, they're different than oak, and we're getting some coloration there, especially on the maples that are, you know, the red maples and things like that are in people's yards, the Japanese maples, those kinds of things. They're really in color right now. I mean, they're really looking good. So, you know, we're making progress to normality, and that's what we need. But, you know, after several years of low precipitation, it's hard to get it all back all in one fell swoop.
It really is.
But we're hopefully on the way, and, you know, we'll have to grin and say, oh, man, I'm tired of this rain after a few weeks of it or a month or two of it. But
honestly, I'm kind of tired of it already. I'm one of these people that get kind of depressed. I don't know.
You like to drink water, don't you?
I do. I love water.
And do you make coffee with water?
Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Well, if the earth dries up, you ain't going to have it, partner.
No, I'll be more depressed.
So, anyway, you know, springs that once flowed all summer haven't these past two summers.
Right.
And I've got, I got five springs that feed my one pond, which is up in the canyon from my house. And that's where we get our house water, too, because I have a gravity flow. I got a tank and a pump, and it pumps up into the tank and then flows to the house. Mm. And, you know, that was getting fairly low about July, and we had to be paying attention. There was a lot of our trees that we did not water, and we don't water them a lot, but, you know, a little bit of water once in a while doesn't hurt them.
Yeah.
But we just kind of cut them off and said, well, you either live or die, and they all lived. They're all doing good.
That was my dad's philosophy, too. You going to make it or you ain't?
Yeah, it's up to you, Bubba. But it's good, and it's getting better, and I think we ought to be thankful. And, yeah, we can complain and still be thankful at the same time. I do it all the time. You know, I'll go, and then I go, yeah, but it's good rain. It's harder to do a landscape job in the rain.
Or anything else, practically.
Yeah, that's true. But when the ground turns to mud, you can't till it very well.
Oh, God.
You can't prepare it for a sod lawn, which we have been doing in Sutherland here for the last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's a small lawn, so we were able to cover it with plastic and
cool.
Keep it somewhat dry instead of being a swamp. And, you know, but you know, some of our small plants at our house haven't survived simply because the root system is not that deep, and when I say some, I'm saying like 10%, which, you know, I hate to see any plant bite the dust, if you will.
Oh yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
But you know, the dogwood trees and the Japanese maples that I've planted over the years, they're still alive. They're still thriving. So, you know, that just bears what I've been saying for the past umpty-ump years about water, over water, and making sure you water properly and those kinds of things. It all fits.
Speaking of watering,
yes.
My neighbor keeps watering that vine from hell.
Why?
I don't know. It's almost killing it. It's starting to...
Good. Maybe that's the only thing that'll kill it.
And I plan counted the little start that you had there.
Yeah.
And it's really looking bad now with all that water. It's all yellow.
Yeah, well, overwater kills them, even the plants from hell.
Yeah. Oh, I thought they were thirsty. But no.
Well. Oh, gosh. But, you know, I only, I make it a rule, I practice what I preach on the radio, okay?
Yes.
I only plant the most hardy, drought-resistant trees and shrubs, and, you know, and I've trained them well by not overwatering. So, I speak from experience when I tell you, hey, overwater is the worst thing you can do. I mean, It's good to water, and when you water, water deeply, but just don't do it every day.
Yeah.
Maybe once every 7 to 10 days or something like that, only in the hottest part of the summer, because most of the time they're okay.
Not when it's raining outside,
no,
for Pete's sakes. My poor little vine. No.
Yeah. No. Well, see, that's the only thing that would kill it.
Is too much water.
Right. You try to
pull it out,
dig it out, spray it, and nothing killed it. But overwatering
killed it.
See? It works.
And I suppose the freeze tonight, if it does, might kill it too. I don't know.
You think? You think it's going to freeze?
Well, it's going to be cold.
Well, you know, could be.
Well, let's see Kyle's latest forecast here.
Yeah, 29 below zero.
Oh, no, just 40. That's not freezing.
40. That's nothing. Well, what are they talking about? Frost?
I don't know. Yeah.
You know, maybe, do they make this up or what?
That must be up around Diamond Lake.
Yeah. I'm sure Diamond Lake has some snow.
I think so. They do. Yeah. They closed a couple of roads up there.
All right. Already?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
North and whatever.
Oh, yeah. They closed Crater Lake National Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's, 7,000 feet, for crying out loud, once you get up there and into that area. So.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that high.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Between 6,000 and 7,000 right in there. Because from Diamond Lake, it just goes uphill all over the Crater Lake. It's an uphill grind, and so you can get another 1,000 feet very, very easily.
Wow.
So, now, I like flowering shrubs. I think they're good, and you know, and if you pick and choose the hardy ones, they're going to be the plants that can stand the dry, hot periods with little water, and some of the hardiest of them include like Escalonia, which is an evergreen that blooms spring and summer. Abelia, which is another evergreen, but it's more wide-ranging, longer limbs and branches, but it's a good screening kind of thing. But it blooms. Well, some of them are blooming right now. And,
Wow.
And it starts blooming early in the spring, blooms all summer. And, you know, kind of whitish-pinkish flowers. And when it's in full bloom, it's very, very attractive. But it's extremely hardy. So if you're looking for drought plants, this is what I'm talking about now. Oregon grape, you know, that's our state flower, et cetera. But it'll grow out of blacktop for crying out loud.
Yeah, I don't think.
On a 100-degree day every day.
Yeah, you're remembering you can't kill that mama.
No, you can't kill mama. You can chop it down and it comes back like gangbusters. But it's a pretty plant. It blooms a yellow bloom. It's the leaves will kind of turn deep red, some of them in the fall. Not all of them on the same plant. They'll be green and red leaves on the stem, and some of the redder ones will hang on through the winter and then fall off in the spring when the new leaves push them off.
Make room for daddy.
Yeah, and it also blooms with a beautiful yellow flower. Lilacs.
I mean,
lilacs are, you know, people think lilacs are a sissy plant. No way. No way. It's a tough plant. I've grown, I got about 6 or 7 out there at my place. And some that we have on the other side of the creek that are, say, 100 feet from the house, you have to water with a water bucket because I don't have 200-foot hoses.
You don't?
No, I don't. And I don't want to waste the water on them anyway.
Yeah.
So we bucket it over there, you know, maybe once a week in the hot part of the summer. Every one of them made it. Every one of them are looking good and putting on new growth, et cetera. Not right now, but they put on new growth this summer. And they were just little call plants that we had from the nursery that weren't looking so hot. You know, mm-hmm. you got 100 plants and maybe 3 or 4 of them look like, what's wrong with these things? They're not growing. So we take those home and then put them in the ground, and within months they're looking a whole lot better. But that's how it goes. We got a break, right?
We do.
Okay, I'll be back. Trust me.
And what is our phone number, Mike?
673-4464. Call with a question. I'll answer it.
All right. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. Obviously, we are back, but the line is still open. We got to cure that, Mike.
Yeah, well, somebody just call and say hi, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
You know, we can have a chat about politics, right?
It's fine with me, but...
Yeah, they'd kick me out of here if you heard what I had to say. That's okay.
I won't ask. Never mind. Yeah.
But I'm talking about hardy plants. You know, we've had a tough summer, and the year before it was a tough summer, not as tough as this last summer, because we had such little rain. So I'm just trying to give you some ideas about what are the toughest ones that are going to survive. Should we encounter more tough summers in the future? You don't, anything you want to plant, you don't want it to die in 3 months. You want it to continue to grow and develop a good deep root system, etc. And so consequently, the ones that I'm speaking of are the ones that will actually do that. And I finished up with lilacs. I didn't finish up with the one lilac I got, and they grow anywhere, for crying out loud. They grow in the desert. They grow on the coast. They grow here. They really do.
Wow.
And my father-in-law, mother-in-law, used to live between Susanville and Reno, and it's high desert country, 4,200 foot, you know, sagebrush and stuff like that. But he had a really pretty yard, and one year he was up here visiting, and he bought a white lilac from me, and he planted it in his yard. And I told him, I says, hey, Arnold, with that sand you got to build a, you know, a raised bed for it and get some organic material in there, some manure.
Help it along.
I don't know if it'll grow in pure sand. I was just trying to give him some hints.
Yeah.
Well, that thing just shot up. I mean, you know, we went down to visit him, and I couldn't believe how well it was doing, and they get... Oh, they might get 2 feet of snow in the winter, and it'll stay on the ground for 2 weeks and be 0 degrees, you know, that kind of stuff. Because it's on the eastern side of the Sierra Nevadas, right where it breaks off and then turns into desert into Nevada.
Right.
Yeah. So, then 1 year, he says, well, you want a piece of this? And so he dug out a little root for me with a few leaves, maybe a foot tall. And we took it home and planted it. Hoping, it should. Well, that lilac has probably, 20 or 30 stems, branches going straight up. It's about 8 to 10 feet tall and about, 8 feet wide.
Wow.
And now I got to prune it every year because of it intrudes on our walkway.
Oh.
You know, I thought, it'll never grow that big.
It's your father-in-law's revenge.
It is. He says, I'll get this kid. But, anyway, that thing never gets watered. I mean, never, ever, except whatever falls from the sky. And it blooms such beautiful blooms for most of the spring and clear into the summer. So that's why I say it's a good hardy plant. It'll take the heat. It'll take the dry ground. And it's not something that you have to... baby or be mamby-pamby about it or anything.
Yeah, they're
like
white blooms also?
Oh, yeah, there's white, there's blue, there's purple, there's red, and then there's combinations. There's some that have a purple bloom, primarily mm-hmm. purple, but they'll have white streaks in the flowers. Mm. You know, so there's a lot of varieties of them.
Yeah.
But all of them are just super, they're like a super weed. You can't kill them.
Mom had a couple, they were purple.
Yeah. Yeah,
purplish.
Right. Yeah. And I've actually cut them down to the ground, and they'll sprout right back up with multiple stems. So that's a good one. So you got you know, Escalonia, Abelia, Oregon grape, lilac, and another tough one that you don't have to worry about is the butterfly bush.
Oh.
Have you ever seen a butterfly bush?
Probably, but didn't know what I was looking at.
Yeah, well, it looks like a piece of brush without leaves on it, but and it does lose its leaves in the winter. But it's kind of along the same lines as a lilac in that it blooms all summer and has these elongated, the one we have is kind of a bluish-purple bloom, and the hummingbirds love them. I mean, they're just attracted to them. So we put one in the yard, and I put some in landscaping jobs that, you know, folks that live out in, say, Glide or 10 Mile or, you know, out there where they've got a lot of space, you know, because they'll get fairly good size.
Mm, okay.
But one thing you don't have to do is mess with them. They just grow.
Nice.
They grow in spite of you, not because of you. And that's the kind of shrub. And the deer, they might nibble, but they don't destroy it. They can't destroy it. It'll grow back too fast.
Probably stronger than ever.
Yeah. Oh, it does. And it comes out, like I say, it has multiple stems coming from the ground, similar to a lilac. The leaves are different and the blooms are different, but the growth habit is about the same as a lilac. Mm, so,
and that's pretty quick.
Yeah. And they're good. And if you have a normal size yard in town, they would make a great border between you and a neighbor along a back fence or something like that, because they grow so quickly, and once established they grow so quickly, and they're just in bloom all summer.
Nice.
Spring and summer. So they're a good tough plant.
And again, you don't have to do much with them.
No, that's the cool thing. And this, don't worry about drought. I'll tell you what plants to plant in the drought. It's okay.
Send a couple to our governor.
Yeah, okay. Barberry, you see them around town. They're a medium-sized shrub, and they usually, there's some that have green leaves, some that have red leaves. The red leaf barberry are the most attractive and standout-ish. And they have yellow flowers. And with the red leaves and the yellow flowers, they make a nice display.
Yeah.
And again, this is a plant. You plant it, you'll take care of it the first year, forget it, it just grows. And you can prune it in whatever shape you want. And if you don't, it can get a little bit large, so you don't want to put it right next to the house. Or next to the driveway. You know, give it some room. And these plants that I'm speaking about today, they, in the long run, will get fairly large. So it's not what you call something that goes along in a small bed and at the front porch or along the back patio, you know, very close. Because you'll be fighting it. And you'll say, what did I ever plant those stupid things for? They grow too fast, too big. And the barberry has these cool thorns on it.
Oh,
so you just can't grab them. And you know what? The deer leave them alone because of the thorns.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they might eat a few leaves on the very tip, but they can't devour the plant because these thorns are, you know, like a pin that you, just a little small pin that's an inch long. Well, those thorns can be about that long, and there's a ton of them on every stem. There's a lot of them.
Makes me hurt even thinking about
it. Good, I'm glad. And its first cousin is the pyracantha. Now, the pyracantha is a wild plant. It grows, and it grows in every direction that you don't want it to grow, but it makes a great border between you and whoever you might not like, because they're not going to come charging through your pyracantha hedge because they might charge through, but they'd be bleeding to death when they got to the other side.
They might stop some vandals.
Again, thorns.
Yes.
Yes. But they bloom white flowers in the spring, and those white flowers, as they fade off, then these little green berries a little bit bigger than a BB start to appear. And by this time of year, those little buds are deep red.
Oh.
So it's basically the seed of the plant.
Okay.
But it's deep red, and really, you know, it makes the plant really significant in that respect.
And it's protected by those thorns.
Oh, yeah. Ain't nothing getting in there. You don't prune without long-handled pruners, I'll tell you that.
Yes.
But If you do have them as a, I wouldn't do them as a hedge in front of my house, but like I say, a border between you and a neighbor, or maybe mm-hmm. a border between you and a busy highway or something like that, would break the noise a bit and any dust or anything like that, because they can grow fairly tall, but they are very, very quick, gas powered hedger, you go in there and that's how you attack it and just kind of keep it
in
from
shape
from attacking your house or your whatever. Dog or your kids or something yeah. like that. But again, once it's in, it's good, it grows. It huh. never has to, it doesn't need anything. In fact, it hates everything. Not really.
Well, yeah. I can't comment.
Yeah, well, you better not. This is a kid's show.
This is true.
So, and then the last thing, I mean, there's many more than what I'm giving you today, but these are just some of the real hardy things that are really available just about anywhere, any time of the year. It's not something that's exotic that only comes from, New York or New Zealand or something
China.
Like that, China, whatever. But holly trees,
ooh, yeah.
They're really something in that... there are some that are dwarfs. They're miniatures. They only get maybe 2 feet tall, and they make a good hardy plant. Again, it's a no brainer. You don't have to worry about feeding them or watering them after the first year. You can, and they'll respond, but they don't need it once they're established, and they're basically evergreen. So, and their leaves, yeah. their leaves are got little points on them, mm-hmm. so you don't just grab a holly bush.
Lolo.
Yeah, and they're slow growing, but there are some that are shrubs and some that are trees, and some of the trees will grow, 20, 30 feet tall, but it takes many, many, many years because they don't grow fast. I've had one planted on one edge of the nursery property there. It's been in maybe 20 years, and it might be 12 feet tall. But we've never fertilized it. We've never watered it.
Just left it there.
But it's evergreen, and
yeah.
it's beautiful. And it has a variegated leaf. The outside of the leaf is a deep green, and then the center is kind of a light green.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So it's very picturesque, and then it has the red berries.
I saw. Okay.
Yeah, and they're bigger, like triple the size of a BB, you might say. But they got they're full of berries, and we do some pruning on it because my florist this time of year like to stick a holly branch in a bouquet if it's appropriate, they really
decorate it.
Exactly, they decorate the bouquet that way.
Nice.
So.
Did I ever tell you about the time I fell into a holly?
No, you never did, and you're still alive.
Oh man, I was up on Mom and Dad's roof on their old house doing something I don't remember, but anyway, I slipped and fell backwards, and I landed right into that holly bush. Oh Lord, have mercy!
Yeah, right. Oh. Right. You had a lot of little tiny puncture wounds all over, didn't you?
Yes, by fortune, I landed there instead of on the ground. But
yeah, that's true. So you only got wounded instead of dead.
That's right. Well, it's probably a good time for a break.
Okay.
Huh? All righty. On that stickery note, we'll be back. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
It is 4:39 and we're looking at 57 degrees.
Well, it feels a whole lot colder than 57 out there.
Yeah, I was outside earlier.
Where do you get your temperature reading from? Is it up on the roof here or is it the airport?
No, I believe it's the airport. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, because oftentimes when Kyle's giving the morning weather report,
yeah.
and he's saying, it's 38 at the airport, well, is 31 at my house. You know, I mean, and I'm only 15 miles out of town.
Now, here's the true temperature.
Yeah. You know, you come on out to my place. I'll show you what temperature really is. But as I've explained to people, see, I live in where there's hills and valleys and all that, where the airport is wide open.
Yeah.
And so consequently, and it's got all that pavement around it. So there's some natural heat from the pavement, from the runways, and it's wide open. So the airflow is keeping the temperature, you know, somewhat moderate.
A little warmer.
Right, whereas I'm in a canyon and that cold air comes in there and stays for hours. It just doesn't blow out. And
along with the fog.
Yeah. Oh, this morning was a bear.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll bet I couldn't see 25 feet in front of me. It was so thick on the road.
Oh, Lordy.
Yeah. And I'm waiting for the deer to pop out any seconds,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
And it doesn't hurt or help to have your brights on.
No, it's worse.
It's worse, yeah, exactly. So, I don't know.
And the people right on your rear end.
Yes, that's the one that guts me the most. So I slow down just
a little bit more. Yep.
Yeah, you want to get in the back of my pickup? Go ahead. Okay, I was talking about tough plants in the last segment, not traffic, but, you know, and perennials are, for the most part, fairly tough. Not all of them, not like the ones I was just talking about in the previous segment, but perennials are those little flowery things that just come back year after year, and if you have a snow or a hard freeze, they'll die down, and you think, oh my gosh, they're all dead because it was so cold. But no, their roots are alive, and they pop up the next year just as good as gold and twice the size. And so they're tough. They're very tough, actually, little plants. And some of them get a little bit larger, but they got a lot of color from spring to fall. I mean, it depends on there are so many, you know, hundreds of varieties of perennials. And here in Douglas County, you could visit five different plant places and see 50 different types. And and we usually have maybe 10 or 15 varieties of different types of perennials. And but then you can go to the co-op and say, wow, I don't have one of those, or I don't have one of those. And, you know, I try different things. I buy a few other plants that I don't know anything about just to learn about them and see how tough they actually are. But in general, as a general rule, perennials are fairly tough little guys for the ones we have here in Oregon. And once established for a year, you can pretty much ignore them again. I'm talking about plants today that you can plant them once, water them the first year, and forget them because they're going to grow in spite of you. They're just going to say, hey, you can't hurt us. We're good. But like I say, once established for a year, you can pretty much ignore them. And in the hottest time of summer, they might need one or two soakings, maybe, if you feel like it.
Yeah.
But even if they're looking poor in the summer with little brown curled up leaves, don't worry about it. Their root systems are alive, and they're just kind of going into premature dormancy, if you will, to save their life. I mean, believe it or not, plants are pretty smart.
Smarter than...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for instance... a bed of daylilies. Everybody likes daylilies. And they'll grow in spite of you with blooms all summer long and into the fall. And the cold weather comes along and then some of them will die down to the ground. You think, well, where'd they go? Well, they're just resting.
No.
They're resting. And early spring, you'll start seeing the green leaves coming up. And then, bingo, they're in bloom. And they bloom again for... You know, months.
Coming out of hibernation.
Yeah, and there's yellows and shades of yellows and oranges and purples and whites. And when you mix a nice bed of those together, it makes a great display. And again, they're a no-brainer plant. You don't have to fuss with them. You don't have to water them a lot or anything. And they do well.
Nice.
And they really enhance a landscape. And you can put them in pots, too. They do very well, you know, get a good-sized pot, not just some, you know, really tiny, but a good-sized planter, and put them in there with some other color items, put them on the porch, the patio, et cetera, and they do well for you.
Blend right in.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's cool about them. And I've seen them bloom into the fall. I'd say, you know, September or so, you still might get a few blooms. And with this rain, you don't know. They get they get a little reprieve from the heat, et cetera, they may shoot another bloom before they die down for the winter. I mean, they do what they want, man. But like I say, lots of colors to choose from, as well as lots of sizes. There are some that, you know, only grow, say, 18 inches tall by about, 24 inches around at maturity. And then there's some that are twice that size. And so when you're picking them out, you know, they'll have the plant label and they'll tell you the approximate size. And of course, if you're a good gardener and you know how to do it, you'll get the optimum out of that plant.
Yeah.
And even if you're not a good gardener, it's going to be pretty nice anyway.
So you got, either way, you're going to get some.
Right. And then if you mix in some like evergreen candy tuft or some ice plant, evergreen candy tuft is a low grower. It gets about, you know, say 4 to 6 inches tall, and it blooms white. Candy
nice.
Tuff. It's just gorgeous stuff.
Sounds like it.
And it comes back year after year after year and gets long, you know, spreads more. And as ice plant, when people think of ice plant, they think of California or, you know, one of those hot areas. Well, it can take the heat, but it also can take the cold. Mm. And I've planted some years ago out in front of the nursery from a little 4-inch pot, and the plant was maybe from tip to tip was maybe 6 inches wide. Well, now those plants are probably 8 feet across.
Jeez.
And it hugs the ground. I mean, it flat lays on the ground, and when it's in bloom, it is just covered in flowers. Just you can't see the green stems almost, because the flowers are so just so wide. Well, I mean, it's just amazing. And again, it can take the drought, doesn't even blink. And the cool thing about these, when the sun goes down, the flowers close, and the next morning when the sun comes out, the flowers open up. You know, and I missed that for a lot of years, and then somebody mentioned it to me, and I went, "Well, you kidding me?" And so I went over and watched, and I get there pretty early in the morning, and they're all closed up, and an hour later when the sun's coming up, I go, bingo, they're open. Hey, that's a cool plant.
They go to sleep and wake up.
Yeah, they say, we know what to do. Leave us alone.
Yeah,
and again, they're a low-maintenance item. They don't need a lot of water, and they're going to thrive, they're going to spread, and they're going to make your landscape really look nice. And say you got a rock garden, for instance, or a pond with koi in it, and you plant these around, and that's what I've done that with some of my ponds, and planted them in the soil, but there's a lot of big rocks around, and they'll just crawl around the rocks, and some will even crawl up on the rocks and decorate the rock, if you will.
There you go.
It won't cover it, but it goes through and finds its own way and just keeps sprouting and spreading.
Nice.
Yeah.
Speaking of koi, did you ever get your replaced?
Yes. One of our customers came in one day and says, we're redoing our pond, or we got too many fish or something. I don't know what the excuse was, but she said, "Would you like some koi? We'll give them to you." And we said, "Well,
nice.
Sure, yeah." So the next day or two, she came in with a 5-gallon bucket of water, and there was about 7 or 8 koi in there, and some of them were, one or two of them were like 6-8 inches long. So I took them home, put them in my pond, and they're looking good.
All right.
And there was one they called a mud dauber or something like that. It was a black fish, and it just sits on the pond, and the bottom of a pond, and eats mud or eats the algae or something.
The sediment or whatever.
Yeah, right. I thought, and it looked like a catfish almost.
Oh, okay.
Kind of a rounded head, and it was black.
Mm-hmm.
Like your T-shirt, black.
Black.
Yeah, and so it's in my pond at home. I can't see it because it's black. 5 feet deep, and it's black on the bottom.
Did you take care of your other problem?
The otters?
Yes.
Well, they haven't been back.
Oh.
And I think with the rain and the creeks fall, you know, coming up and all that, they'll stay. Because my wife scared them. And they didn't like my wife out there, you know.
Good.
They hissed at her and all that. So she threw rocks at them, and they split.
They called her names.
Yeah. Are we going for a break here?
Yeah, final break.
One final break, and we'll be back.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Absolutely. That's where we are at, and we need you to call if you got a question.
That's 673-4464, or save it for next week, why don't you? It's okay.
Okay. It'll be a new month.
Yeah, new month, new questions, new topics.
Speaking of which, you going to go trick-or-treating?
Oh, yeah, you bet. All right. My nearest neighbor's a mile away, or half a mile away.
Oh, you can still dress.
And I got to walk down through the timber, and there's cougars and stuff.
No, and I'm, otters.
And otters, yeah. I'm not going, man. But I'm talking about, you know, tough stuff. Tough stuff that doesn't need a lot of care, doesn't need a lot of water. And if we are indeed heading into a more drier climate in years to come, well, you want plants that are going to live. You want plants that you're not going to have to spend a fortune keeping alive by watering them. Yeah. And so then you question, well, should I have a lawn? Because a lawn takes a lot of water to stay green and healthy. You can substitute a lot of these ground covers for lawns, and maybe you can't play football or croquet on it, but still it's green and it looks good and it doesn't take a whole lot of care and not a whole lot of water. So just throwing those ideas out at you if you've never thought of it that way. Well, it's something to explore and look around and say, hey, would that fit in my yard? Or you begin to pay attention to neighbors as you're driving down the street and say, well, I wonder what that is. And you'll see it's green all the time, and it maybe is blooming and looks good, and it spreads. So, hey, I'll get some of that instead, you know, instead of this lawn that I got to mow every week.
Every week.
Yeah, and water every day.
And try to get rid of with a lawnmower.
But one of the type plants I have on my list are the ornamental grasses. The king of the ornamental grasses, of course, is a pampas grass, but they get so huge, so big, and if you've got a great big yard or several acres, pampas grass will grow good. I saw one out in Camas Valley years ago at a logger's house, and it was probably at least 10 feet tall and probably 15 feet around.
I didn't realize grass could get that high.
I didn't either until I saw it. I thought, whoa, that is the largest pampas grass I've ever seen.
Jeez, I guess.
And they said, well, the lady said, when we planted it, it was just, you know, a small little plant, but it's been in there for, you know, 20 years or whatever. And thankfully, they put it away from the driveway about 25 feet, so it doesn't interfere with anything. Mm. But that's the king of the ornamental grasses. And then you've got ornamental grasses that will only get, a foot tall and spread 3 feet wide. And they're, again, all these grasses are drought resistant, and they look good. Yeah. Nothing seems to hurt them. The bugs don't attack them. And
the deer apparently don't eat them.
No, the deer don't even eat them. And, if you want a deer-proof plant, an ornamental grass pretty much fills the bill there. and they'll have blooms, and they're not flashy in their blooming and all that, but they will have smaller blooms, and they look good in the spring. They look good year-round. And you can plant several different varieties, some that get, say, 3 feet, some that only get a foot and spread, some that get 4 feet tall and have these kind of fluffy blooms on the top, like cattails, only they're fluffier, and they blow in the wind, and they look good.
Yeah.
And some of them are green. Some of them are deep green, some light green. Then there's the red-stemmed varieties where the stems are actually red and the bloom on top is kind of has a reddish tint to it. And you can mix them up and plant, have some boulders around and give it a real different look. And again, this is a plant that you don't have to fuss with. You see, it always looks good. Even after Snowmageddon, I thought, oh my gosh. Then they destroyed, the earth. But when the snow finally melted, hey, those ornamental grasses were still there in good shape. Didn't kill them.
Still there, the old flag away.
Right, and 110 degrees doesn't kill them. So go for it.
Jeez.
they're easy to grow. There's nothing hard about them. But like I said, the flowers not real showy, but they still bloom little flowers every spring.
Sounds like an originated in a desert or something.
Yeah, it probably does, or you know, in desert or drier climates. You know, California. You'll see a lot of them in Mexico. You'll see a lot of them in California and Southern California. One time we were down in Cabo San Lucas, and from the airport to Cabo was about 20 miles or something like that. And their landscaping on the side of the four lane, a lot of ornamental grasses and things like that. Obviously, there's no irrigation out there because it's desert. And they wouldn't run a sprinkler system all the way down the freeway. They don't do things like that down there. And there was I saw a crew of guys up there weed eating some big ones down to the ground. They just did that and they grow back. So that's how you trim them. You can weed eat them or go out there and hand prune them or whatever. You know, if they're getting too big, just go ahead and.
I was going to say set them on fire, but California already has a fire problem.
Yeah, they don't want to do that. and if you want to, you get one that's kind of big and you want to split it off. All you got to do is get a sharp shovel, dig a section of it out, get the roots, and replant it somewhere else. It'll take right off. Doesn't even hesitate. No pampering allowed here. these are grasses, man. Yeah. So anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And I already have three more pages of notes I didn't even get to, so I'll do that for next week.
All right. What's the main topic for next week?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh.
Yeah.
You going to be a pain in the rear endo?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I might have a guest speaker next week.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's all you're going to say at the moment.
That's all I'm going to say at the moment, yeah.
Okay. So where are you located at in Winston?
Well, we're about about a quarter mile south of Winston on Highway 99. You go over across the bridge and you go by one nursery that's not me. And you go down about another 400 feet and you see all the green roofs, and that's Wintergreen. So.
And your phone number there?
679-8224.
Nice. All right, we'll catch you next time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.